from the inmate housing unit. Correction Officer Julie Christensen and Correction Officer Denny Woodward were in the day room area of the housing unit. Correction Officer Wendy McCarthy was standing by the housing unit access door delivering medications. Some of the inmates confined in cell block C refused to hand their meal trays over to Officer Christensen and Officer Woodward, which is a violation of the housing unit rules inmates are expected to follow while confined at the facility. The cell block C inmates were instructed to return to their assigned cells for lockdown. Some of the inmates complied, while others delayed their response to the instruction given by corrections staff. Central control for the jail was contacted by portable radio and advised that cell block privileges, such as television, canteen, telephone, and such, were being temporarily suspended, which is a corrective action taken when inmates at the jail fail to abide by the jail's rules and regulations. As the inmates were moving to their assigned cells, one inmate, later identified as Frederick Morris, date of birth July 24, 1992, age 20, began to move away from the area of his assigned cell, returning to the center area of the cell block near the day room tables. Inmate Morris demonstrated failure to comply with correction officer's directions to return to Morris's assigned cell. Officer Christensen approached Morris, and Morris assumed a combative stance with closed fists. Morris immediately struck Officer Christensen to the facial area with his closed fists, which rendered her incapacitated and caused Christensen to collapse unconscious to the cell block floor. Other correction officers attempted to gain control of Morris, and during these attempts, Officer Denny Woodward attempted to spray Morris with OC spray. Morris attacked Officer Woodward, striking Woodward to the face with several glancing punches, causing facial injuries to Woodward. Additional correction officers arrived at cell block C in response to the reported disturbance. As the additional corrections officers arrived, Morris moved to secure himself in his assigned cell. As correction officers ensured all inmates in cell block C were secured inside cells, medical staff assigned to the Marathon County Jail entered the cell block and began immediate treatment to Officer Christensen until the arrival of WASA Fire EMS to Aspirus Hospital for the treatment, Both Christensen and Woodward were transported by WASA Fire EMS to Aspirus Hospital for treatment of their injuries. Christensen remains under hospital care in an intensive care unit due to the head injuries she received in the attack by Morris. Woodward was treated and released. Morris was not injured in this incident. Morris has been in custody at the Marathon County Jail since February 1, 2013. Morris was incarcerated for felony charges of possession with intent to deliver cocaine, possession of a firearm by a felon, along with other controlled substance-related crimes. Morris had an additional charge of resisting or obstructing and was being held on a $15,000 cash bond at the time of the attack on Officers Christensen and Woodward. Morris has since been transferred to the Lincoln County Jail, where he remains. As a result of the attack on Officers Christensen and Woodward, Morris is facing additional felony criminal charges of aggravated battery and two counts of battery by a prisoner. Morris will be making an initial appearance for these felony charges. There's been some concern over the delay in releasing further data in relation to this incident from the date of the attack until now. All I can share is it was a necessary element to secure another aspect of this investigation and the follow-up being conducted. Also, the families of Officer Christensen and Woodward requested additional time to meet their needs. The cell block C video footage is currently considered an integral part of the evidence depicting inmate Morris's actions prior to, during, and after the attacks on Officer Christensen and Woodward. We need to maintain the integrity of that evidence piece for the district attorney's prosecution. Officers Christensen and Woodward have been corrections officers with Marathon County Sheriff's Department since 2001. Officer Christensen is age 36, and Officer Woodward is age 38. investigative assistance in this incident was provided by the Wisconsin Department of Justice, Division of Criminal Investigation, and the Wausau Police Department. Members of the community and members of the Sheriff's Department staff have questioned the security of our Marathon County Jail. Our investigation suggests that staffing levels and whether or not corrections officers were provided tasers were not a contributing factor in this particular incident. However, taking a broader and more futuristic view of the situation, I will ask that an independent panel of community leaders be assembled to review jail security concerns and create a report which can be distributed to the new sheriff and form a basis for any improvements that may be needed to improve security in our jail. A benefit fund has been established for Officer Christensen at Integrity First Bank, 101 Grand Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin. Phone number is 715-845-0900 under the name Julie Christensen for any contributions and donations. Please keep Officer Christensen and Officer Woodward, their families, and the remaining members of the Marathon County Sheriff's Department Corrections Division in your thoughts and prayers as they go through this process. And with that, I believe you were provided photographs of Officer Christensen, photographs of Officer Woodward, and photographs of Frederick Morris. At this point, we'll open up the floor for questions.
I'd like to know, obviously, Officer Christensen is listed in critical condition, but has anyone in the department, yourself or anyone else, been able to talk with her or see her or go up to the hospital yet?
We have people that are at the hospital center on a regular basis. In fact, there are a number of people that are up at the hospital center standing by. The family has asked that we not release any further information about her medical conditions at this point, but we do maintain regular contact with the family.
So you haven't spoken with her personally?
With Officer Christensen? No, I have not met.
Was the intercom system working in that cell block? We've heard multiple reports that intercom system has been problematic for you. Was the intercom system working at the time of the attack?
The intercom system has had some issues. There are attempts being made to rectify that particular system. In this case, the intercom system did not play into the event.
How was the disturbance reported then?
It was reported both by visual and also by portable radio contact with central control.
Is this incident, have you guys thinking any more about their correctional officers carrying weapons such as tasers and things like that? I know a main concern is that what if the weapon gets away and an inmate gets it? But, I mean, there are tasers and such that if they're pulled from a correction officer or pulled from a tether that they immediately shut off. Have you guys thought any more about maybe implementing those inside the jail?
As with every incident involved with the Sheriff's Department, well, law enforcement as a whole, there's always a debrief after the fact. And during these debriefs, we take a look at procedures, training, and if whether or not additional equipment would be beneficial. In this particular case, we are in the process of doing that. We already have made some policy modifications, and our corrections staff has been armed with tasers at this point. I polled a number of counties immediately after this event to determine how many counties carry taser within the housing units, and use that data to make the decision that we came to today, or actually a few days ago.
So your officers are now carrying tasers?
Our officers carry tasers within the housing units.
I would like to make a comment. I, as a mother and a member of this community, feel as though my answers have not been answered. I am Frederick's mother, and I've called on several occasions to see what was going on. I found out about the whole incident via Facebook, and I felt like that was just not right for me to find out that way. I've called Lincoln County Jail, and they've hung up on me twice. I've called Marathon County Jail, and they've sent me to sergeant to sergeant to sergeant. And when I called to get answers, they told me nothing. I feel as though you guys know how these two officers are doing. I know nothing about my son. I've not been able to see him. I've not been able to talk to him. And I feel as though if you guys know what's going on with these officers, I, as his mother, who's worried about my child's safety, should know how he's doing. And I know nothing. I called out to Lincoln County. They told me to call here because you guys are in control of what goes on out there. I don't know what condition my son is in. I have not seen my son since the incident has happened. I didn't even know that it even happened. So I'm just wondering, me as his mother, why am I not allowed to know what's going on with my child in this whole incident, whether it be a minor altercation or a major altercation? It was an altercation, and I should have known from somebody here, not Facebook. That's all I'm saying.
All I can say, ma'am, is that you have not contacted me. I would have spoken to you, and after this press conference, I will take you to my office, and we will discuss all these matters.
They're
so if you can have some...
To the jail administrator, they sent me to everybody, and I've left messages since Friday.
And I think it's...
I found out at night, so I had to call all day Friday.
And like I said, as soon as this is over with, I will assist you in that.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
When do you expect Mr. Morris to appear in court?
That's up to the district attorney's office to decide when he's prepared and ready to do the initial appearance. I know that we were providing him investigative reports yesterday, and that investigative reports are still being completed as we speak.
Do you have any sense of what led up to this? Was there spring fever? Was the food bad that day? Was the food bad all week? Was there any signs that there were reluctance to comply among the group? Anything that, you know?
As I indicated earlier, there was a problem with certain inmates failing to follow the rules and regulations of cell block C and the jail facility.
Is that day?
There's always issues that are taking place within the various cell blocks, but that was the reason for this event today, on that date.
But there was nothing that there had been any confrontations earlier in the day that set the stage for this behavior, or?
There was no direct confrontation.
You mentioned that you want to see a report that addresses jail security. What concerns have you heard from members of the Sheriff's Department, and when would you like to see that report done by?
I'm in the process of meeting with County Administrator Carger about developing this committee and such. I think it's always best to have, well, let me rephrase that. Sometimes we can easily look in the mirror and think that all is clear and all is good. And by opening this up to other portions of the community to take a look at us and be transparent, it provides us with an opportunity for a fresh perspective and also an insight into direction that we need to take.
So which concerns have you then heard from the Sheriff's Department staff?
Just their safety concerns as a whole in the facility.
And when would you like to see a report done?
We're just in the process of developing that. The sooner, the better.
Have there been any
from the community? I mean, have you gotten calls about this from community members? And maybe Brad, maybe you can address some of that as well. Because we've got all the talk now about making improvements to the jail, and certainly this would bring up some liability questions for the county. Are you hearing from people out there? Maybe both of you could address that, please.
I can respond first. I'm hard to get to because I'm too busy talking to you people. No one in the community has actually called me on that, but I made a call, but every time I go to the gas station or every time I go somewhere else, people are expressing concern. So.
And no one from the community has contacted me either.
Brad, is there even any money in the budget if you needed to increase staffing at the jail?
Well, it's all a matter of priority. You know, we have a number of programs, $150 million budget. If there are improvements that are needed to improve safety in the jail, we'll have to reprioritize and do less of the lower priority items. So the answer is yes, but there's not just a pot of money sitting there unallocated.
Will this change the way you deal with some inmates, some with prior history of peeing on toilet paper and throwing it at corrections officers, or in this case, that's exactly what happened in prior imprisonments. Will this change the way you guys deal with them?
The correctional facility has a classification structure, so our staff is well aware of the various classifications of inmates that we are serving. So to say that we're going to change our professional contact with those inmates, no. Our staff is extremely professional, and will continue to provide the services that are expected of them.
Brad, you mentioned the priorities within the budget. Have staffing levels, increasing staffing levels at the jail, been presented to the county board since that 2007 report as a budget priority before?
No. It was discussed by the county board. I know it was a 2007 report, but I think it was actually in 2008 by the time the consultant came. It was discussed, and since then, we have a routine process for evaluating new position requests, and I don't believe that any came forward. One thing that did happen in this year's budget was we now have in place a contract with Bridge Clinic for some I'm at a loss for the term. It's actually medical assistance to deal with inmates that are mentally ill, making sure that they take their medications and to make sure that they're in the proper location and maybe should be better housed at the healthcare center rather than here. So that's a new initiative that came through last budget.
How many officers short are you now? I understand you have one who's deployed, one who was promoted. There was one open position. Now you have one that's injured. So that would bring down four positions?
Actually, the current staffing levels of the Corrections Division are 37. But as you stated, we have three officers that are out on special duty or injury, one who's in military leave, so now that's taken us down to 33. And we're currently in the process of filling two vacant positions. So we are at 31 staff for the adult facility at this time. 31 correction staff and then six correction supervisors.
Has there been some concern among the corrections officers about the staffing levels being that low and being able to adequately protect themselves and protect the other prisoners?
Again, our staff is very professional and they work within the means that they're provided. So are there concerns about the fact that our numbers are down at this level? I'm sure there are.
With the tasers, were the corrections officers each given one and told, you shall carry this? Or were they told, here's one if you want it?
When we do a policy modification, it's all or none. And all of our staff has been previously trained in the operation, deployment, and use of the taser. It's just a matter of now that they're arming themselves with it on a regular basis rather than having it at a secured location.
Do they have that device where the thing is disarmed if it's taken from the officer?
I don't believe so.
Were there any other inmates involved in this attack? Is there any evidence to suggest that this was some kind of coordinated effort?
There's nothing to indicate that this was a coordinated effort between Frederick Morris and any of the other inmates in the cell block.
You know if he was on his medication?
I think you and I should talk about a lot of things after this. Any other questions by the media?
Given the challenges Chief Deputy has been facing before this and at this time, do you anticipate that this could lead the governor to speed up the process of appointing a new sheriff and in the interim get you some additional assistance in the areas that you have manpower shortages at this time?
Actually, the appointment process, and I'll just touch on it right now, is a three-week process for applications. And then after that, the governor goes through a variety of different interviews. There's no way to speed this up any faster than it is. But I appreciate the question, but I think we should just focus on Officer Christensen and Officer Woodward today.
And how was Officer McCarthy coping after being involved in this as well?
We provided opportunity for crisis intervention teams who have been regularly meeting with our staff. The county also has psychiatric personnel on standby that have been meeting with some members of our staff, so we're taking care of our people as best we can.
You said that Morris had been moved to the Lincoln County Jail. Why was that? Maybe you can explain why that decision was made to move him there.
Because of the fact that he had been involved with a direct attack on two of our officers, we felt it in everyone's best interest to transfer him to Lincoln County Jail, where he's away from our staff and the tensions that are in the facility, and also at the same time providing an outlet for him. Any other questions by the media? I'd like to thank you again for coming here today and for your patience in waiting for us to release this information. And we'll move forward with this investigation. Thank you.